Welcome to the Boxing Talk Show, Fed but Firm, with the Hall of Fame boxing referee. I'm Joel Cortez and co-host John Zimmel for all of Las Vegas. Come on, guys, let's touch them up. Clean fight. I'm Joel Cortez, Fed but Firm.
Welcome to the Fed but Firm Show here in Las Vegas, Nevada, the entertainment capital of the world. John, this past weekend we had some upsets in boxing.
Of course.
Of course, some of the fans out there are all kind of shocked at some of the results we had. Some are very happy with the outcome. And I can tell you that Williams, who beat Hurd, was very, very pleased and very emotional during the interview. Oof. Can you talk us through a little bit of that fight, John?
Absolutely. Julian Williams is a gentleman who, he has lost one fight in his career. He was very highly touted coming into the pro game. He lost one fight to Jermall Charlo, in which he was the favorite. He got knocked out. I mean, you know, sometimes you take a hard shot and you go down. And he's kind of been pushed to the wayside ever since then. This was considered, in many ways, a stepping stone fight for Jared Hurd to eventually fight against Jermall Charlo. And Jermall Charlo, when he fought Tony Harrison, was also considered a stepping stone fight for the eventual maybe pay-per-view super fight between Jared Hurd and Jermall Charlo. Well, now neither one of them have any belts, because they both lost their last fights. Julian Williams came out and absolutely executed his game plan to a T. Jared Hurd was unable to adjust and lost both of his belts to Julian Williams. Julian Williams looked outstanding, knocked him down in the second, had power, had finesse, speed, fundamentals, everything you could ask for. Jared Hurd gave it just as good as he got it in a lot of ways. He was an excellent attacker, as we know, a great puncher, not a defensive tactician by any stretch of the imagination. But it was an excellent fight. Anyone who likes a lot of action, big punchers, big punches, will love this fight. They could go back and watch it. And that was just the PBC card. There was also an ESPN card.
Yeah, exactly. But I can tell you that Hurd was not himself, I think. A lot of complaints about with the training. They said a lot of folks out there saying that the training tactics that he used, that he was not in condition. And I can tell you right from the beginning, he was kind of like, didn't have it. He just came in there like kind of really an off night. He just,
let me ask,
when the first round, second round, when he got dropped, I was like, I couldn't believe it.
It was pretty crazy. It looked like he almost got finished. He was in trouble.
Yeah, he was.
When he got up, he got attacked again. I was like, get out of the second, Hurd.
And, you know, and one of the most important things in boxing is conditioning.
Oh, as we know.
And maybe sometimes, I would say sometimes you hear once in a while a fighter's over peak, you know, in their training. Mm-hmm. And it's like if they never train at all, a trainer got to know when to hold him back a little bit. So fighting that, he can let it all loose. He might have let it all loose during training, came into the fight, did nothing, had nothing at all.
That's a possibility. Let me run two other possibilities by you. There's some that say maybe he overlooked Julian Williams. Not necessarily as an opponent, but just he was more focused on promotion in a lot of ways. He was talking about, you know, the eventual fight with Jermall Charlo, whether or not he still wants it. He was in his hometown in the DMV area. It was all a big homecoming for him. It was a big event. Maybe he was more focused on the stuff that happens outside the ring than the stuff that happens inside the ring. Is that a possibility?
Well, what happens in boxing, I can tell you, I've been around the game for so many years, being an ex-fighter myself. I know that sometimes we kind of like overlook what's happening right now. We got to focus what's happening today and let tomorrow and all that. We'll deal with that after the fight.
Yeah.
But some of these fighters, they...
Well, it's hard. You got to go on the media. You got to do this, and this. And not everyone can balance that and training properly.
Yeah, not many guys can multitask. Yeah, some guys can...
It's tough for them.
Yeah, it's tough. He has so much talent.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he showed a lot in the previous fights. But what happened 2 nights ago was just like...
Well, he's always a slow starter, and I don't think he's ever fought anyone who was able to make him pay for it. And Williams has a lot of power in those punches, and I think he was able to make him pay for his slow start.
Yeah, and he caught him cold right from the beginning.
Right off the bat, man.
Put him down, and wow, that was like a really big upset. But anyway, when I was boxing for you, you can't be overconfident when you come to your opponent. Don't ever take anything for granted. You have to, if you're training hard for a fight, make sure you're in tip-top shape.
Oh, yeah.
Mentally and physically.
Now, on the undercard of that fight, you had Matt Korobov versus his opponent. Now, his name was Aleem. That was a good fight. It was action-packed back and forth. A lot of the fans felt that Korobov won. But, you know, fans always think stuff. Now, the part that was interesting about it was at the end of the fight, they announced it a majority decision for Korobov. They said two of the judges went Korobov, one went draw. Then they recounted them and said, no, actually, two of them went draw, one went Korobov. turns out it's a majority draw. Calling it a draw. You ever seen a recount in the middle of the scorecard?
Yeah, I've seen it happen before. I mean, once in a blue moon. May have seen it happen two or three times throughout my whole career.
Yeah.
Where they miscalculate on the score
sheet. Looks bad on the score, sheets.
But it happened. And when they realize they made a mistake, wait a minute. It's, you know, it's embarrassing for the promotional company. And if you and I make it a bet, and I got your money in my pocket, I run out the door.
Yeah, you should.
Come back, Joe.
It's a tie.
Yeah, it's a
but
tie.
But your phone's not on. Then.
Yeah, but anyway, but that happens. But I go see show maybe these guys behind the table, they were not the greatest at math in school.
Yeah, that's probably the worst. Is there a way we could automate that, Joe, where you type in and then the computer could add it up, or is this not a big enough problem where we have to worry
about
it?
It's not a problem, but they just don't have
it. It just happened.
They should sit down and have it all somebody just
somebody's job
one
be
person
addition.
Just to do that like they do with CompuBox.
I'll do it.
They got this one guy. Are you good at math?
I'm good at a calculator, Joe. I could add nines and tens together.
Okay, good. Well, you got a job.
Yeah, I'm already better. I'm already qualified.
Yeah, we got you qualified.
What about the other card? We had two rematches, Joe. One, you know, and we saw the exact same thing happen again.
Dogbo versus
Navarrete.
I mean, Navarrete showed last year that he has something. Was it beginning?
Was there any chance that Dogbe was going to win this fight again? I mean, outside of a major adjustment,
they felt that he maybe didn't do his homework the first time around. That they were overconfident with Navarrete. Navarrete, one of the tallest featherweight in the history of boxing.
And Dogbe's small, man. He's small for a small division.
And this guy, Navarrete, had that jab in his face all night.
He could not close that gap. Not the whole first fight or the whole second fight. And this one, he took a much worse beating.
Yeah. And so it goes to show that Dogbo, maybe got to start thinking about doing something else.
He should probably start thinking about not fighting Navarrete again. That's not a fight he should ever take.
He'll lose to him every day.
He'll lose to him every single time. I agree with you 100%. Now, we've talked in the past about fighters having their dads be their trainer. And how those are a lot of positives there. We've seen a million times where it works. We've also seen some times where it doesn't work. Sometimes fighters will be too quick, or trainers will be too quick to throw in a towel because it's their boy. This was the opposite here. He seemed a little bit more hesitant to throw in the towel. We've seen the same thing with Diego Magdaleno and his training staff in the last fight against Teofimo because it's family.
Yeah.
Is this something that, you know, when you watched that fight, did you feel like the Dogbe's dad should have thrown in the towel a few rounds before that? Or?
I thought I should have stopped it around the ninth round.
Yeah, I agree.
He was taking a pound in there.
The ref didn't have to stop it, but definitely the corner.
When they went to the corner and said, you know, let's stop it. We don't want to see fighters take it unnecessary punishment.
It was hard to watch.
I keep saying that. And as an ex-referee myself, I always say, we don't want to see these fighters taking that kind of punishment. And the referee got to be on top of his game and go into those corners. In fact, sometimes you got to kind of like, you know, walk in the corner and tell the coach, hey, listen, but your man take a little too much. You take a little too much.
Might be time.
You got to think about it. Yeah, but if you don't show me something, I'm going to stop the fight. But babe, by you telling him that, he'll say, you know, ref, you know what, stop it. So you kind of encourage him to stop the fight.
You know, they talked about it. The commentary team was saying that his dad addressed many times the amount of shame that he felt going back to Ghana after the first loss. And that I think maybe he just kept... He didn't want to face that again, and so he let his boy keep taking those shots. It was really hard to watch as a fan, and I this is a blood sport. We watch, it's a hurt business. We watch this for a reason.
Yeah.
But when you see a guy taking unnecessary punishment, it's never fun, and it was just hard to watch. And I hope that Dogbe is able to carve some sort of career out of this. He was a champion. I mean, it's not like he's nobody. He just can't beat Navarrete. That's all right.
Yeah, but you know, he only held a title. He beat.
He had one defense.
He beat Magdaleno, and that was it. Yeah, one
zone,
defense.
He never,
He, you know, it's just like when it reminds me when Leon Spinks beat Muhammad Ali.
Yeah.
He beat Muhammad Ali. Leon Spinks had only 7 pro fights on his belt. Yeah. He was an Olympic champion. He came out and beat Muhammad Ali with 7 fights on his belt. But 6 months later, they had the rematch and he loses.
Yeah.
So you know what? He was never again in a threat in boxing.
He still was the former heavyweight champion of the world and beat Muhammad Ali.
And one of the things he can say for the rest of his life,
I beat Muhammad Ali for the heavyweight championship of the world.
Not many people can say that.
No, he
and that was unified champion too.
No offense to Jesse Magdaleno, but I'd rather beat Muhammad Ali any day of the week. That's a lot more of a bragging card.
What about
the main event in that fight, Joe? You had Miguel Burchelt versus Francisco Vargas, another rematch. Last time they met, he was supposed to be kind of a showcase fight for Vargas.
Right.
And he shocked the world, came out and won. Now they're both a little older. Burchelt's in his prime. He's a guy out of Cancun, which is an interesting place for a Mexican fighter to be from. They're not usually out of those resort cities.
Yeah, beautiful place of vacation.
Beautiful place of vacation, absolutely, but not a place where you normally find fighters.
Yeah.
And then he was trained in a Cuban school of boxing, which a lot of people, you know, Cubans are known for their fundamentals. They're known for their amateur pedigree. So he was and when you watched him, he looked outstanding. Vargas took a ton of punishment, and they stopped it at the right time after the fifth.
Yeah, no, I mean, Vargas really took a pounding. He was really... He was like, oh, my God. You know, you just said to yourself, you know, he looked like he was a train hit him.
Yes, he did. He looked like he got in like a motorcycle accident. He had like a road rash on the side of his face.
Right.
I never seen that from a glove before. Yeah, that was hard to watch.
It's true. Some of it could be some accidental head, but I remember we were talking about discombobulated kind of a face.
He didn't look good.
He looked really bad. Just like when Haseem Rockman.
Yes.
When he fought for a fight, I recall it. He had a...
Oh, the famous... Yeah.
He had like a... It was an accidental headbutt, and it was like a brick.
One of the craziest knots you'll ever see on the side of
his head. A big knot on the side of his head, and the fans, like, oh, my ringside doctor, everybody saying, do we stop the fight? Do we let it go? Why not? I mean, it was really a nasty...
It was tough to watch.
Yeah. But you hate to see fighters that come out into the ring, and they just, when they walk out, they're so messed up. You know, like I said, saying, how about Jared Hurd versus Julian Williams?
We
just talked about that. We said the result of Hurd got beat up pretty bad.
It was bad.
And Julian Williams was very emotional during the interview.
He was
actually crying.
I was happy for him. I was
very happy for him. And
I got a question, though, because this is fun. That's a good lead-in, actually. Now, Jared Hurd doesn't have his belt anymore, you know, but we have a division now at 154, Joe.
Right.
Now, 154 is traditionally the stepping stone division. It's either, you know, there's 147 is one of the glamour divisions. 160 is a very glamorous division. Now, at 147 right now, you have the biggest stars in the sport in a lot of ways. You got Terrence Crawford, Errol Spence, Manny Pacquiao. You got Sean Porter. You have, Keith Thurman, Danny Garcia, a ton of talent at welterweight. Probably the best collection of talent in the sport. At middleweight, you have the biggest star in the sport, who is the face of the sport, and, I mean, an absolute dynamo out there, larger than life in Canelo Alvarez. But right in between them, Joe, you have 154, where you have Brian Castaño, Jared Hurd, Tony Harrison, Jermell Charlo, Jaime Munguia, Arislandi Lara. These are all guys who could beat each other. Is this the most exciting division among the three of them as far as excitement goes?
Well, it is. It is one of the better divisions out there. I mean, there's a lot of excitement, a lot of top-notch fighters. These guys are no palookas. These guys are really, they have a lot of talent. And that's good for boxing because it goes to show that boxing is really on the way up. I mean, not only the welterweight division that we're talking about, the super welterweight division.
Yeah.
You got the middleweight division. I mean, and the heavyweight division, there started to be a lot of action.
A lot going on
in different divisions. Yeah. So definitely, I'd say 154 is a hot division.
It's
too now.
It's super hot. It might be the best division in boxing. At least right now. It might be the hottest one because it might not have any A-plus fighters. Like, Canelo's an A-plus fighter, and he dominates his whole division in a lot of ways, which makes it exciting. You have welterweight, where you have a lot of A-fighters. Mm. But these guys are all kind of A-minus fighters, but they're all A-minus fighters.
Yeah.
So anyone can beat anyone at any point. The only undefeated champion out there is Jaime Munguia, and he might be the worst one on all of them.
Yeah, well,
it makes it super exciting.
I can see these guys going up in the division into the 160 eventually. They're still learning a lot.
You can see Errol Spence eventually going up into that division, too.
Exactly.
He would probably dominate that division.
He probably would, but, you know, let's see.
Yeah.
But 154 is a good division.
It's hot.
But that division, for you fans out there, younger fans, I know that division never existed before.
No, yeah.
Back in the old days, there were only 12 weight classes. It was featherweight, it was bantamweight, featherweight, take it back. It was flyweight.
There it is.
Bantamweight, featherweight, lightweight, welterweight, middleweight. Light heavyweight and heavyweight.
Big dogs.
I said 12. It was 8 divisions. That was it. Now you got like 158 divisions out there.
And 4 and 5 sanctioning bodies.
Oh,
and everything
my God.
Else.
Yeah. But back in the old days, there was a fighter, Henry Armstrong.
Yeah.
Who was featherweight, lightweight, and welterweight champion. Simultaneously, at the same time, he was champion. And he would defend those titles. He would fluctuate his weight, go up to 147, go back 135, 126. I mean, it was unbelievable that Henry Armstrong, look him up, they call him the buzzsaw. He was really just,
If you don't know Henry Armstrong, look him up. He's the man. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I forgot to mention, Jesse Vargas just entered the 154-pound division.
Yeah, another one.
So he's another one to talk about
right there. Yeah, yeah,
I mean, these are all guys who could beat each other. It's an excellent fight, and they're pretty much all on PBC, which makes it more exciting because you can make these fights. Pretty much all of them except for Jaime Munguia.
Yeah, you know, some fans out there probably say, Joe, do you think that boxing is better today with all these other added divisions? Not only the added division, but they also got the silver, the gold, the international, the intercontinental. You know what? I say it's okay. It says that it gives the opportunity for these fighters to make a little extra money
exactly.
and to get a title. Whereas way back in the old days, in the glory days of boxing, the mm-hmm. golden era, there's only those eight divisions, and you know there was not too much you can do to win a title.
Yes,
not just every Tom, Dick, and Harry, they can have a world title belt.
But that's what makes unifications exciting. That's my one thing that I say, because I agree with you. It's better if there's the less belts, the more they mean.
Yeah,
but with all these belts, it is fun when they can unify, and you have, you know, like a situation like Canelo Jacobs, where you have three belts on the line. I mean, that's fun.
I mean, everybody got, even my grandmother's got a belt, the one she used to hit me with.
Yeah, but your grandma's nice, though. But she's good out there.
She take it off.
Her fundamentals are good, yeah.
Yeah, but she had good belts.
Good belts?
they were really serious, but those were I took real serious.
Absolutely. Hey, Joe, we had a big announcement this week.
Oh, my God.
A real big announcement this week, Joe. We're talking about welterweight division. We have Keith Thurman fighting Manny Pacquiao.
Finally.
July 20th?
July 20th.
July 20th. Talk to me, Joe. Talk to me about this fight.
Well, I tell you, it's going to be a great fight. Before we go to that fight, I want to get all our condolences to Bert Cooper, Harold Letterman, our dear friend Harold Letterman, who's a great friend, Bert Cooper, who I referee several times back in the days in Atlantic City, and of course in the movie industry, the Hollywood industry, Doris Day,
of course, Doris
one of our famous ones. She passed today at the age of 97. But Bert Cooper, Harold Letterman, well known as the unofficial scorekeeper for HBO for so many years,
yes.
And his daughter,
thousands of fights.
His daughter, who's Julie Letterman, is one of the top judges in boxing today. Our condolences to her and her beautiful family.
Absolutely.
Okay, so
let's get back to the fun stuff, Joe.
Okay, go ahead.
Keith Thurman, Manny Pacquiao. Talk to me. Give me the breakdown, baby.
Okay, Keith Thurman, he's undefeated WBA champion.
Former unified champion.
Yeah, unified champion. And, of course, he got stripped of some titles, some belts because of his injury. He was inactive for like 2 years. And then a couple of months ago, he fought
Josecito Lopez,
and he didn't look that impressive.
No,
but then again, you know, he's inactive for 2 years, so he took a softie, Josecito Lopez. Josecito Lopez gave him a little.
They got a tough matchup style-wise.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah. Josecito Lopez gave him a little tough fight, but then again, he was inactive for almost 2 years. And now he's fighting Manny Pacquiao. Manny Pacquiao, when he fought Adrian Broder a couple of months back, I thought that maybe he was not going to be in a position to beat Pacquiao. I think Adrian Broder, I said Broner probably, let's take it back. I thought Broner was going to beat him. Yeah, I thought Broner would beat him because Manny Pacquiao, 40 years of age.
Oh, yeah.
But Manny Pacquiao came back and showed the world that he still definitely had a lot of spark. Not a little, a lot of spark.
Manny Pacquiao,
of the old flesh.
This is a big fight, though, Joe. Like, let's not over. I mean, just yes, he didn't. Keith Thurman didn't look good against Josecito Lopez, but this is the most dangerous fight Pacquiao's fought. Yes, he lost to Jeff Horn, but this is the most dangerous fight Pacquiao's fought since Floyd Mayweather.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, yeah, he's fought a lot of fighters out there. He's saying that all the fighters he's fought in the past, I mean, he feels like this one is going to be one that's going to stand out the most for the simple reason. He's fighting one of the better guys out there.
I mean,
Keith Thurman was considered pound for pound one of the best fighters.
It should have been.
In boxing.
This
up,
is serious.
Up until he got hurt.
This is a serious question. We're talking about Manny Pacquiao's all-time right? Because he's one of the top 10 fighters ever to do it right. on a pound for pound list. If he beats Keith Thurman, a unified welterweight champion, undefeated, at 40 years of age, what are we talking about? Is he top five all time? We don't have to make the list, but what does this do for his legacy? It's huge, right?
It will be huge for him. But I mean, you know, Manny Pacquiao at the age of 40, a lot of people say, you know, even in 30, you say in boxing, if a manager is looking for a fighter, he goes to a location, they find a fighter who's 30 years old, looking to move it to the top notch to make it a fighter. A manager 30 years on, I pass on him.
30, exactly.
At 30, here's a guy who's 40 and is still fighting like a 20-year-old.
He's fighting for WBA welterweight championship.
What I don't understand about Manny Pacquiao is how has he managed? I mean, it goes to show the great person, the great fighter that he is. I mean, he's taken a lot of punches to his head. He better tell every time he's in a war. Every time he's in there, this is the kind of fighter the fans want to see because he gives you your money's worth.
He's definitely a
you know,
fan.
Win or lose, he's really out there giving it all he has. And I think that if he beating Keith Thurman, they'll say, well, he beat Keith Thurman, who's been injured. And if Keith Thurman beats him,
then oh yeah, he beats old man Pacquiao. Yeah, I agree.
He could have never beat Pacquiao when he was young. But I can still say one thing: Manny Pacquiao is still the welterweight champion of the world. He's still out there. Everybody wants to fight Manny Pacquiao. And they know that's where the money is at.
He's definitely the if anything, at worst, the second most marketable fighter on the planet right now. Behind Canelo. I mean, you could say Anthony Joshua, but I don't think so. Pacquiao's numbers prove otherwise.
When I interviewed Manny Pacquiao a couple of months back when he was fighting Adrian Broner the day before at the weigh-in, and I asked him about what's happening with you and Mayweather, anything happening? He said, I'm willing to eat the rub. But he said, right now I want to focus on tonight's fight, which is what I like to hear from him. He was talking about, I want to focus on Adrian Broner first, and then we'll talk tomorrow after this fight tonight.
That's what they always say.
You know, but here he is. He beat Adrian Broner. And Mayweather is not in the mix for this fight. Now it's
that's an interesting subplot that I was hoping you would touch on, and I'm glad that we can extrapolate it because it's exciting.
Yeah,
this means that the Mayweather fight's dead, right?
No,
he would not take the Keith Thurman fight if he thought he could still get the Mayweather fight.
Well,
I think after the Broner fight, they tried everything. They must have called Leonard Ellerbe 150 times and said, "Look, we want this fight. We'll give you this percentage. We'll give you that percentage." I mean, if he beats Thurman, that's a different animal. But I'm saying, signing up to fight Thurman, I think he believes there's zero chance of fighting Mayweather.
And people are probably going to ask right now, Joe, what do you think? You've been in the game. Who's going to win the fight? Well, you know what? Keith Thurman is a top-notch fighter, one of the best out there. But with a big, I think that he has a difficult time. You're going to have a difficult time with Pacquiao for a simple reason. Pacquiao looked so sharp when he beat Adrian Broner.
Oh, yeah,
you know? And that was only a couple of months ago. I don't think...
Keith Thurman would look sharp beating Adrian Broner too, though.
Yeah. They're going to be a big one for either fighter. I mean, like Manny says, it'll be one of his biggest wins because he's fighting a top-notch...
It would legitimately be one of the best wins he's ever had.
Yeah, I mean,
it'd be up there with Haddon. It'd be up there with some of the biggest wins of his career.
Yeah.
It would be outstanding. Wow, it would be something else, man.
Yeah.
Let's you want to talk this coming weekend? This is a big show today.
Yeah, the big weekend
we got the heavyweight champion of the world, baby.
Heavyweight champion
WBC
of the world.
WBC heavyweight champion of the world returning to the ring.
Who's that? Joe Palooka?
No. It's Deontay Wilder.
Deontay Wilder. Yeah.
Fighting a guy who a lot of people don't rate very highly, but he's also 6'7", the exact same height, and they hate each other. Dominic Brazil. These guys have gotten in fights in hotel lobbies. They've said horrible things to each other about each other's families, about each other's lives. Well, this is a true bad blood, Joe.
I expect to see the punches do the talking.
Yeah.
All that blah 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 outside the ring. Now let's see Saturday night. You can't miss that fight.
No.
Now we'll see. Now can you imagine Wilder losing to Brazil?
Some people can.
Some people.
I don't see it happening. I think Wilder wins this fight. I think he's a full step above Dominic Brazil. But
I got a feeling he's going to knock
Brazil out.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so too. That's what he does. He knocks people out. I mean, he's amazing.
Yeah.
Let's remember, Deontay Wilder to me is the most exciting fighter in the sport of boxing for one simple reason. You can never take your eye off the screen. He is fundamentally not sound, not in any stretch of the imagination. He's not Mayweather. He's not any of these textbook fighters. But all he needs, what does he say? If you want to beat me, you got to be perfect for 12 rounds. I got to be perfect for 2 seconds. If he lands one right hand on you, you are going to sleep. That's 100% going to happen if he lands the right hand on you. So you can't take your hand off or eyes off for 1 second. I turned away for 1 second in the Luis Ortiz fight, and Luis Ortiz almost knocked him out. I look away for one time in the Tyson Fury fight, and he knocks Tyson Fury down. I mean, this is one of those fighters that is absolutely exciting.
Well, people will say, though, who's better, Tyson or Wilder?
You think they'll say that?
Yeah, of course. Who's the best? You and both in their prime. Who will you pick on that fight?
Mike Tyson or Deontay Wilder?
Yeah.
I think Mike Tyson would have a hard time closing that gap. I think he had a hard time with tall fighters. I rate Mike Tyson higher. I want to be clear before everybody come at me. Mike Tyson I rate higher all time. But head-to-head, Mike Tyson has a hard time with those punches. And if it goes into like the seventh or eighth round, Deontay Wilder only needs to land one good one, man. I mean, it's...
Yeah, but I think Tyson was like...
Worked the body?
Yeah, he worked the body. He was so quick getting inside. He would slip inside real quick like he did.
He's hard to hit.
He was hard to hit, and he would get in. He would bob and weave a lot, get slipping. And when he fought Tony Tucker, when he fought Larry Holmes, He pulled out by Larry Holmes already.
He was 111. He's older than you are.
Yeah, he was like 200 years old. Fighting Mike Tyson. Man, I mean, he was old, but Tyson put him away quick.
He did.
But there were so many fighters up and coming, top-notch fighters that had the height and whatnot. Mm-hmm. On Tyson, managed to work his way in and knock him out.
I don't know anybody that he beat that was on Deontay Wilder's level at that height, though. Let's just put it that way. And I'm not saying that Wilder would win. I think that he poses some matchup problems. That's all I'm saying.
It would have been a difficult fight. It
would have been a tough one for either one of them, that's for sure.
But, you know, the money that you guys are making today, though.
Tyson might come back and do it.
I mean, I'll tell you, it was amazing the other day here in Las Vegas. We had a fundraiser with the care program from WBC. And I saw Lennox Lewis there, Mike Tyson, Klitschko.
Oh,
it was good to see those great heavyweights there, Larry Holmes. It was just a great honor to see. And the good thing about it is I can say I referee all those guys.
That's so cool.
I mean, it is so cool too.
Oscar De La Hoya. How many other people you saw there? I mean, a million, right?
Oh,
it was just amazing.
Yeah, they were all there. Oscar De La Hoya. It was, just so many of the great ones.
Oh, absolutely.
Jeff Fennick.
A ton of them.
Roberto Duran, Sugar Ray Leonard. I mean, I mentioned all these names of these guys, but I referee all these guys.
Isn't that so cool?
God, they got a pitch by some. I can't believe it.
How lucky, man. That's amazing.
You, it is.
But we're not done talking about this upcoming weekend because there's a million other fights.
Yeah,
we also have Gary Russell Jr. on the undercard of that fight. Now, fans like Gary Russell Jr. because he comes in once a year, gets his job done, keeps his belt, and leaves. He's known for a guy who doesn't really like fighting. He's good at it.
Yeah.
He has a fighting family. He's also known because he has five brothers. Well, he's one of five, and they're all named Gary Russell.
Right.
Two of them are on the undercard. One's Gary Antoine Russell, and one's Gary Antonio Russell. Don't quote me on that, but I'm pretty sure. But it's really funny to me, to be honest with you.
Well, you know, you want to see those brothers fight. You hope that they all win because, if one loses, now the whole family.
You got to be sad for him when the other guys won, and it's tough. Yeah,
and so they can't really share all that
glory. I like that he gets to be junior. You know, the other ones all just got to be, they got to go by their middle name because he's the best one. He gets junior.
But talking again about all the money that you guys are making, the hundreds of millions of dollars.
Oh, yeah, money's there.
Who was that turned away at $90 million the other
day? Deontay Wilder, man.
Deontay Wilder,
$120 million he turned down.
$120 turned down. Hey, guys, like I said before, I keep saying every week, you're going to see me getting in shape. I'm coming back. But I'm taking no less than $20 million.
No, you can't. Yeah, no, don't sell yourself short.
These guys turn away $120 million?
Turn it down. Bet on himself. He said he can make more.
Oh, my God.
That's crazy.
Even if I go box with my shadow, I want to do something.
Yeah.
I'm going to get in there. Hey, fans, we're having so much fun talking about these fights. Any questions, please put them out there now.
Always, please.
We got about 3 minutes before we wrap it up. So put something out
there. We got another Billy Joe Saunders.
We want you to share, subscribe. You know, and we also want to thank our sponsor, La Mansión, and Into Boxing. But
absolutely.
Share with your friends out there. Let them know we're having some fun on this show here. This is the only show you're going to find two genuine world championship belts.
It's a unification.
Yeah, on the table. I know the belt's coming soon.
Yeah.
But anyway, we're going to end up with about 25 different belts out here.
That's what we should.
That's how many
we're the champions.
Well, yeah, not only that, but that's how many sanctioning battles we got out there. So we're going to have all these belts.
That's how many weight classes I fluctuate week to week, though.
I have a couple of more put away, but I don't want to pull them out because it'll just flush the table.
We'll get them behind them.
Maybe on the
wall. Get some shelves. Yeah, it'll be nice.
Talking behind us here, Muhammad Ali.
Absolutely.
One of the greatest of
all
time.
Some of the greatest. Best ref ever right there in the middle, too.
Oh, I don't know about that.
He's
but
up there.
But
he's
I can
there.
Tell you, but I can tell you the fighter is one of the best fighters, Canelo Alvarez.
We got a few more. We got a few more fights this weekend, Joe. We got Noye Nuye, who you have in your top 10 pound for pound, and I think most people do. He's going to be fighting against Emmanuel Rodriguez for Rodriguez's strap. What do you expect to see from Nuye? Another quick knockout? That's what he does.
Well, that's what he does. And let's see, maybe he does that. But again, like I said before, in boxing, so many things are happening. Where there's so many upsets, you never know.
Anything can happen. Your boy, you like him, Joe Joyce. He's going to be on the undercard of Billy Joe Saunders' first attempt at 168. What do you expect to see from Billy Joe Saunders at 168, and what do you expect to see from Joe Joyce?
Well, I think Joe Joyce brings a lot. He's 33 years of age, but he's young. I always say heavyweights, they develop late in their careers. But he's young, a former silver medalist at the Olympics. And a very, very charismatic individual.
Yes, he is handsome.
And handsome.
Slow, though. Slow, Joe.
Well, I think in the heavyweight division, let's see what
happens. You can be a little slow, right?
The Golden Boy is calling out to...
Spence Canelo. What do you think about Spence Canelo, potentially, Joe?
Well, Spence Canelo, Errol Spence Jr., 147-pounder.
Yeah.
You put him with a Golden Boy...
There's no chance, right?
Oh, yeah. There's no chance. But
I like Errol Spence Jr.,
It says there, if I'm reading right... Golden Boy calling
calling out
calling out Errol Spence.
Canelo has all these young lions at 160. He's saying Canelo would beat them all at 160. I get it. It's look, Canelo's amazing. I don't know anyone that beat Canelo at 160 right now, except for Triple G. But maybe not even now, Triple G, but he did once.
Canelo is really the top gun in this year lineup. I mean, Canelo is really has a lot. He showed me a lot last week when he beat
Danny Jacobs.
I mean, Canelo Alvarez showed that he has a move. He can slip and slide.
He's unbelievable. He's as complete a fighter as exists right now.
Yeah, he's an individual. He's a fighter that has so much talent, so much power, so much boxing skills, and it's just something that I feel like in boxing we need some stuff like that. You know,
absolutely. No, I mean they're exciting. And look, I like them talking about Spence makes sense. If I'm Golden Boy, I would love to see Spence. Spence is a top 10 pound for pounder right now. I would love to have Canelo add that to his resume. But the fact of the matter is, I mean, look, for $20 million, that was the supposed offer. If I'm Spence, I'd probably go up there and do that fight. Yeah. But, because then he can go right back down to 147 and you know what I mean, and start staking his claim again.
Yeah. Well, we know with the extra time that we have on today, we're going to talk a little bit more about those kind of dream fights people are talking about. These fighters, welterweight division, middleweight division, the heavyweight division. There's so much out there that said with the show earlier today. We know that boxing is really on the way up again. I always said boxing has peaks and valleys.
Oh, yeah.
Right now, it's at its peak.
Oh, it's skyrocketing, man.
It's going right now. This kind of fight the fans want to see. We want to see fights out there.
Saturday night, I had two TVs on, Joe. I had two TVs on. I'm watching the Dog Bay fight at the same time as the Herb Williams fight.
Yeah.
I'm going like this.
And probably on your phone looking up the other one.
Yeah, the Dazen card. I mean, it's unbelievable.
Yeah,
Well, there's so much boxing right now. It's crazy. And it's just been so exciting to watch. We had Caleb Plant versus Mike Lee announced. That'll probably be the lead-in for the Pacquiao Thurman fight that we just talked about.
Right.
So that's going to be an exciting doubleheader, but that'll probably be on Fox. It'll probably go right from that into the pay-per-view, which makes it even more exciting.
Yeah.
I love all these cards that are on regular cable, and they get great ratings.
Yeah.
I mean, this Herb Williams fight was so good for the sport. It was awesome. And how many people watched it? Hundreds of thousands, because it was on free TV.
Right, right. Well, I think that's what the fans want to see. They want to see that free TV. That's what they all want to see. I mean, come on, stop being so cheap and spend $5 and watch it.
Well, that's what we had this week. Right? I know, yeah, I know what you mean. But yeah, I know, stop being so cheap. But that's the thing, right? Because I know me and you, we have DAZN, and we have ESPN Plus, we have Showtime, we have all this stuff. But also, you have it on ESPN regular, you have fights, you have regular Showtime, you have fights, which actually we already mentioned Showtime, and you have Fox, all these fights on Fox. And then you have pay-per-views all over the place. I mean, there's
you got a fan out there asking about
Inouye versus Josh Taylor?
Yeah, Josh Taylor.
That'll probably be the final. Once Inouye beats Emmanuel Rodriguez, it'll be Inouye versus Josh Taylor. Do you expect to see Inouye clean up that whole division?
I can see him doing that towards the end of the year. Absolutely.
Josh Taylor's nice though. He's but Inouye is just amazing.
Hey fans, but next time, don't forget to subscribe to the YouTube channel and
iTunes, as well as Spotify, as well as everywhere Audio Boom, everywhere that podcasts exist. Please go on and subscribe. There's no rule says you can only have one. You can unify all of your subscriptions just like we unify belts. Make sure you share with all your friends. We love seeing all the shares at the end of all the videos. And thank you for tuning in, as always, Joe.
And don't forget that there's some fans out there saying about starting a Joe Cortez fan club. Yeah, I'll take you up on that. That'd be not a bad idea. You got to start the fan club. That's good. Just contact our people here, Charlie, DeLynn. Jackie, and we'll make that happen. A nice fan club. We want to make sure that you fans get the best information, the ladies on boxing, and of course, talk about my past, the history, the great fights that I refereed throughout the years. I always think about Roberto Duran, Iran Barkley fight. You guys got a chance, watch that fight on YouTube. Roberto Duran, Iran Barkley, one of my favorites. And there's been so many. I was watching the other day, George Foreman versus Ron Lyle.
Oh, yeah.
On YouTube. What a fight that was. Anyway, fans, with that said, I want to say God bless, take care, protect yourselves at all times, and remember, I'm fair, but I'm firm. Touch them up.
Fair but firm with the Hall of Fame boxing referee. I'm Joe Cortez for all of Las Vegas. Come on, guys. Let's touch them up. Pre-fight. I'm Joe Cortez. Fair but firm.